From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Evacuating during a disaster is traumatic. It's stressful for anybody. But access to safety depends largely on one's ability to escape. In recent years, deadly wildfires have highlighted that people with disabilities face greater barriers when it comes to evacuating. And a 2019 state audit showed that emergency response struggles to properly help vulnerable people with limited mobility. But despite knowing of these dangers, the recent deadly wildfires that swept the Los Angeles area underscored this issue. So we're going to get a better idea of the conversations and the solutions that are taking place. Ana Ibarra is a health reporter for Cal Matters, a nonprofit newsroom that partners with public media stations across the state, and joins us with her reporting on how California can prepare disabled people for the next disaster. Welcome, Ana.
Hey, Vicky.
So you are looking at disasters, wildfires in particular, through the lens of health. You are a health journalist. When did you first become aware of the dangers that people with disabilities face during these types of disasters?
Yeah, I think we've been hearing about this for many, many years now. When I talk to, you know, disability advocates, they point to Hurricane Katrina, right? 2005, that was one of the most deadly natural disasters in recent U.S. history. And there were a lot of conversations after that about how people with disabilities, you know, fare so poorly, and so many people with disabilities and older folks too died in that in Hurricane Katrina. And now every time, you know, we hear about our natural disaster, it's no surprise to these advocates that, you know, we see that the majority of deaths happen among people with disabilities and limited mobility, as you said.
Yeah, and so that was 20 years ago, Hurricane Katrina. When did this become an issue that the state was aware of here in California?
So when I talked to folks, they pointed to the increase or the more recent wildfires. Specifically, they pointed to these conversations really taking shape after the wildfires in Sonoma, Ventura, and Butte counties in 2017, 2018. In some of these fires, the majority of the people that died, again, were older, had many of them had a disability, many of them had chronic conditions, they didn't drive, there was just all these barriers for them. And so in California, there's been more of a, I think, a conversation since those, since 2017, let's say, and that, you know, that is something that some of the advocates have been pushing for since those fires. Now, after those fires, as you mentioned, there was a state audit report that came out in 2019. There was supposed to be a oversight hearing in the Capitol, but because, you know, of COVID-19 and, you know, we were facing another type of emergency, sort of that conversation took sort of a backseat at that time.
I see. Okay. So, I mean, I covered the campfire at length, and I remember talking to someone who helped people in a mobile home evacuate over 100 residents. Everyone was able to escape safely, which is amazing considering that they did have mobility issues. Some of them are on oxygen tanks. It is, they have unique needs that need to be met. So the state audit that was done in 2019, it obviously has, in terms of it being effective, seems to have been delayed because of the pandemic. But can you kind of dive into this audit? What did they find when it came to emergency response for people with limited mobilities or disabilities?
Sure. So the audit specifically looked at the three counties that I mentioned, Butte, Sonoma, and Ventura counties, and how they were prepared before the 2017 and 2018 fires, the Camp Fire, the Sonoma Complex Fire, the Thomas Fire in Ventura. And so the report found that counties' emergency response agencies really struggle to assist people with disabilities, limited mobility, people with that didn't speak English. The report was a little broader and included those folks too. And the report showed that there were issues with the alert system. So some folks just, they got the alert too late. The report also showed that there was issues with shelter preparedness. So some of these shelters just didn't have like the equipment or preparation to assist folks with high needs. And none of the counties, the report said, had done an assessment for their residents' needs to better assist them. So they couldn't plan for like pre-evacuation assistance. That was a recommendation that has long been recommended to counties, is to really assess their residents' needs so that you know, if there are areas where they're, you know, where some of these facilities with many of these people are located, or where you might need to assist earlier. And so none of the counties had done that. And so given the deficits that the report found from these counties, I recommended that the state take a more active role in making sure that counties are doing this work.
Okay. So, and I understand that there was supposed to be a hearing among lawmakers. It kind of got lost in the shuffle of the pandemic, which was a crisis, as you said, of its own. But we're now 5 years out from the height of COVID and the pandemic. And unfortunately, yet again, there were wildfires that swept through and devastated communities in Los Angeles at the start of the year. What did you learn about how people with disabilities fared with these recent wildfires?
Yeah, so what we heard and saw and read down here were a mix of stories and anecdotes, right? I talked to folks who felt very lucky that they were able to get out in time, and sometimes relatively quickly, thanks to the help of family, neighbors, first responders. But then we've also seen, you know, of course, the tragic stories of people who did not make it out, some who were waiting for help that never arrived. Of the 29 people who died in the LA fires, more than half of them were 70 years or older, and several, including some younger adults, were ID'd as having a disability. And so advocates say that while tragic, no one was really surprised, because we know that people with special needs are 2 to 4 times more likely to die in a natural disaster. And so they said this again, the LA fires again showed that to be true.
Yeah. And an area like Los Angeles, of course, is heavily populated and condensed. When you talk with Los Angeles County officials about the challenges of responding and providing help and assistance to people who have limitations, what did you learn about the main challenges in Los Angeles?
Yeah, so I spoke with the director of the Disabilities and Aging Department in LA County, and she told me, you know, first of all, that the size and scale of this was just the biggest challenge. She said that she had never had to evacuate 30 facilities. These are skilled nursing facilities, assisted living, memory care centers. This was the biggest evacuations that she'd seen in her 30 plus years doing this type of work. So first of all, the scale of that was the biggest challenge. There was just an enormous amount of people who were evacuated. Then there was also, you know, she was telling me that she's, her department is fairly newish. It's about 3 years old. And in this role, she is sort of learning about all the barriers in communication, like between agencies, you know, with the county, with Red Cross and first responders. There seems to be like this lack of central communication in these types of emergencies. And even after the disaster, checking in on people to see, you know, if folks are in need of any types of resources. You know, she sometimes has to go through several agencies or departments to get that information. And so it seems like the communication of it all between inner agencies is difficult. And so, you know, that's one of the things that they seem to be really relying also on the state with, is getting the sort of communication and doing these wellness checks and just ensuring following up on people who were affected, and, you know, being able to do that. It's just not as easy as it sounds. It's a lot of barriers in that communication.
When I think of assisted living facilities, memory care, or just having assistance and help at your home, you can live independently with some assistance. Of course, there's the role of caregivers. What role do they play when it comes to a disaster?
Yeah, so in this reporting, I really learned that they are a type of first responder, right? They are the first line in helping these folks, from preparing, you know, they're gathering their things, to, you know, putting them in a car if they can, and getting them out of their house and into a safe space. They, you know, they have a big job. And what I learned is that a lot of them don't receive like emergency training. Now, there are groups that are starting to do more of that now, but I was surprised to learn that that isn't necessarily part of, especially for caregivers that visit people or that care for people at home, that isn't necessarily part of their training. And so a lot, some, I spoke to one group, the Center for Caregiver Advancement. They're trying to do more of this. So far, they told me that they've trained about 4,000 people, but there's tens of thousands of these workers. So, you know, they're just scratching their surface right now. But yes, a big role. They are a first responder, but often, you know, their training is overlooked.
Yeah, I mean, you have to remember that during a disaster, it is a chaotic situation. It's a dangerous situation. And we're talking about these challenges, you know, with hindsight, but when you're in the thick of that moment, those challenges really become heightened. And you were able to learn this by profiling and listening to a personal story in the Pasadena area. So that would be where the Eaton fire was last month. And through the lens of a caretaker, as well as someone who has limited mobility, what did you learn about from their stories and their experience of trying to evacuate safely?
Yes. So this was, I spoke to a caregiver, and she's been a caregiver for about 30 years. So she's very experienced, you know, and yet she said there were issues and scenarios that came up that she hadn't really thought of. So, for example, she is someone who was caring for a woman who was very sick and fragile from cancer. And this person or this woman couldn't move or walk on her own. And essentially, there was, you know, a point where her caregiver had to think, okay, well, we're going to have to evacuate. You know, she was in an area where she thought she was far enough from the flames at first, but her first concern was the smoke, because her client uses supplemental oxygen. And so she was nervous about, you know, what that would mean. So she knew that they had to get out of there, even if the flames didn't get to them. But there were scenarios where, you know, she thought, how am I going to get her into the only car I have right now is an SUV. It's hard to lift her. How am I going to, you know, get her on there? She had to think about potentially carrying some of her oxygen tanks into the car as well. And, you know, she said she was very lucky because one of the other caregivers was just wrapping up her overnight shift, so she had help. Eventually, they were able to flag in a police officer who called for EMS, but she said that wait was about 30 minutes. And in those 30 minutes, she was wondering, do I just go? Do I wait? Is someone going to show up? And so it is a lot, as you said, it is a very difficult and scary situation for them. And so there was a lot of things, you know, she said, even as experienced as I am, a lot of things I hadn't thought about. And so she is definitely a supporter of caregivers receiving more training in this space.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with CalMatters health reporter Ana Ibarra about the unique dangers people with disabilities face during disasters. So in the last few minutes that we have, let's really focus on some solutions that are taking place, because as you say, these conversations are happening at the state level, at the local level, and even on an individual level as well. When you reached out to the state, let's start broad, what did they have to say about this?
So the state did not answer my requests for an interview or questions. The governor's office directed me to CalOES, the Office of Emergency Services. They didn't respond. And so I went to the county to try to get some information and questions answered. But what the county told me was essentially, you know, that yes, there is a lot of work to do. They are currently assessing the impact in this community of people with disabilities and the elderly. And they're a lot of ideas, but, you know, they said they're still assessing this.
Okay. Well, when it comes to disability advocates, what would they like to change? What are their recommendations?
Yeah, advocates have a lot of ideas too. They mentioned a couple of things. One is when I asked, you know, if we knew how many people with disabilities had been displaced from their homes, there was really no way to know, they said, because the counties don't usually like have one central system where they can check where everyone with a disability can check in, right? There are, of course, like the facilities of like nursing homes and assisted living centers, and those are more easy to account for because you have a count. But people who live at home, the only way to check for them is whether they get assistance from a county program, and so then the county knows how to contact you. And so what they're doing now is checking in on or they have been at the time the story came out, was checking in, following up on those folks to see, whether they essentially had a place to live, whether they had any medical needs or just needs for resources. And so that's what the county told me that they were doing. But essentially they said that they would like some tool where anyone with a disability or that they feel may need assistance in such a situation where they can check in and the county would then know to contact them and how to reach them. Some of the advocates said that they would like to see really a push for better preparing some of these emergency shelters. You may have seen stories, right after the fires, some of the emergency shelters just didn't have the equipment or supplies that these people needed. There was reports of just not enough cots. There was need for respirators, oxygen tanks, wheelchairs. They were really pushing to better prepare some of these emergency shelters so that they are able to really take in these groups and help them.
Well, finally,
Oh,
Anna,
go
I
ahead.
mean, we only have about 30 seconds or so left. I'm just thinking of someone who's listening to this and falls under this vulnerable category. And, we're highlighting some serious issues here. What can they do ahead of time to prepare? What were the learning lessons that you took away that could actually help people in this situation moving forward?
Yeah, almost everyone I spoke to said that it is important for everyone to build their evacuation network, whether this be family, friends, neighbors, someone you can tell that you may need help getting out in an emergency situation. They said you can't really rely on first responders, especially in an emergency of this scale. While they may be able to help many people, they might not be able to get to everyone. So everyone I spoke to almost said that there should be really a work from the family and person with a disability to try to build your own network for an emergency evacuation.
Anna, thank you so much for sharing your reporting.
Thank you, Vicky.
Anna Ibarra is a health reporter for Cal Matters, a nonprofit newsroom that partners with public media stations across the state, like CAP Radio. And she's discussing her reporting about the unique dangers people with disabilities face during disasters and what solutions are taking shape. Up next, a new series of stories aims to connect you with Sacramento's natural environment in a fun way. We'll learn about a new series at CAP Radio. You're listening to Insight, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.